Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's a Wizards game day, so an hour from now, we'll talk to Dave Johnson here on the Team 980. Can the Wizards have a better defensive performance than the last time they played the Pacers? That was the 162-point game. Yikes. We'll talk to Dave about that. There's also a ton of NBA news today, mainly that the Nuggets have fired Mike Malone. What the hell is going on with these coaching firings this late in the season? We will talk about it a little bit later on. In the program. Take Command, podcast I do, of course, with Logan Paulson, and we play some of it for you here on the radio. Today, we did a mailbag. We started off by talking about story time with Logan because he played with Julio Jones, who retired last week, and we went from that and talking about why route running is so difficult in the NFL or at an NFL level. Really, really great conversation that I encourage you to listen to on the podcast because we're going to play a different part of the show for you from our mailbag segment on the NFL draft. A couple of questions, a couple of names that I wanted to run by Logan or that you out there in question land wanted to run by Logan, and then a couple of other topics as well. Last thing I'll say real quick on the housekeeping front for Take Command. Next week, Anthony, I don't know if I told you this, Logan's going on vacation. So I'm left to my own devices.
He's going on vacation when?
Next week. He nice. Actually leaves. He leaves Thursday. Him and the fam are going on a spring break trip overseas.
Love that for them.
I absolutely love for them. Logan deserves vacation. Him doing it the week before the draft. Look, I'm not. It's when spring break is. So I'm not even gonna say like, hey, it's not when I would pick it. Like if it was 100% based off of Logan's schedule, that's not when he would pick it. But that's when spring break is. So that's when he's going on vacation. But I felt a responsibility to make sure that I no letdown in the podcast. We can't possibly have a letdown in the podcast. And so I have recruited John Keim to do a mailbag for me next Monday.
Nice.
Yeah. So we got that. And then we got a special guest that I will announce on Take Command on Thursday and reiterate here on the show on Thursday. For next Thursday in our draft show. But Logan and I will do some more draft stuff, including a visit with the Athletic's Dane Brugler on Thursday. But as for right now, here is me and Logan talking about your draft questions on today's edition of Take Command. Take Command Podcast, Mailbag Edition. Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here, and Tyler writes in, says, I love the podcast. I wanted to ask your opinion on two draftable players the Commanders could take. The first is wide receiver Trey Harris, who is a big receiver with downfield ability who dominated for Ole Miss when healthy. The other is Amen Hassanayin, the defensive end from Boise State. 6'2", 272 with good pass rush ability. He came to the U.S. from Egypt, so he was late to playing football. I think he could be a good day three addition to the defense. Looking forward to hearing your opinion.
Thanks. We're just talking receivers, Logan. So let's start with Trey Harris. And then I'm very intrigued to hear your thoughts on Hassan Ayeen, especially considering we know, you know, for instance, last year with Brandon Coleman, a guy that was late to football. We know that Adam Peters sometimes looks at that ceiling upside of a guy who has plenty of more room to grow because he's not quite as experienced. But what's the book on Trey Harris first as we look at some potential receiver options for the Commanders?
Yeah, Trey Harris is probably the more interesting of the two for me personally. And again, because he's a big body guy. He's like 6'3", he's like 210, 215, and he plays in this Ole Miss offense, you know, helmed by, who's the offensive coordinator there?
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin, that's right. And he and there's just a lot of space. He runs a lot of hitches, runs a lot of posts. Think about like your DK Metcalf route tree from when he was coming out where it's like, I'm going to run a go, I'm going to run a post, I'm going to run a hitch. And so there is a lot of like, I'm bigger and more physical than you, and I'm going to win this ball down the field. And I do have some vertical horsepower to run and kind of get open and do some things down like that. The thing that I come back to, I love big receivers. I absolutely love them. But like, just because we just talked about Julio, we just talked about route running, there is a little bit of nuance that you need to see from that position. And if you can't start and stop, if you can't get out of your cuts, like you can't just out big everybody all the time, you know. And I think that's where with him, where I'm a little bit on the fence, because again, like, it's not his fault, it's just the offense they were in. Like, I went through every one of his targets and everyone, and so you do occasionally see him run a really nice dig, which to me is like one of those routes that kind of shows a little bit of nuance. I got to decelerate, I got to work a stem, and it looks good, right? And he can catch the football well. He's not a super natural catcher of the football. Like, there's certain guys where it's just like, there's like Tetro McMillan's a good example. There's just like Velcro in their hands, like they can just catch it. I'm not saying Trey Harris is bad at that, I'm just saying that's not like his superpower. So the thing that gets me is like, do you have enough size and physicality to make that play at the next level? Like, so another example is like Tyler Warren from Penn State. Like, his college film is tremendous, right? But he outbigs a lot of people. Like, he's just bigger, like, and stronger than a lot of people. In the NFL, everyone's big and strong. Does that still play? And that's kind of the same question I have with Trey Harris, right? Is can you be bigger and stronger at the NFL level when you're big and strong in college, but it's not like dominantly big and strong? And so that's where it's like, is he an impressive athlete? Yes. Would he be interesting at like 61? Probably for the Commanders. But I do have questions about his game. And again, like, if I'm picking you in the second round, there's questions about everyone's game, like Jaden Higgins, right? Can you truly play outside receiver? You played mostly slot in college, right? You know, Jalen Noel from Iowa State, like, can you be more consistent? Can you play bigger than your frame? Like, there's all these questions with everybody, but those are my questions with Trey Harris. I would be interested if the Commanders made that selection at 61, because he's big and he's fast. It's just, is that nuance, is that kind of top shelf physicality there for him? And the question is, I don't know, but interesting at 61, probably.
Yeah, he's big and he's fast, but he's not huge or blazing. He ran 4.54 at the combine. He's listed 6'2", 205 on NFL.com's profile. He's 6'3", 210 on PFF. So I'm guessing PFF's number is what Ole Miss gave him, and the NFL's number is what he actually measured in at. So that does feel significant. So it's not like, you know, and look, I feel like anytime I talk about DK, people are like, but you hate DK. And I'm like, I don't. I just didn't want him here for the point is, like, he's not DK, right? DK is 6'4", even if he doesn't play like it, and he is 225, and he is 4.3 fast. That is not who Trey Harris is. So if you're trying to big body people, but you're also don't have the speed, or your body's not that much bigger than a lot of these DBs right now, who got guys who are like 6'1", 190, 195, then that does become, I think, a real question. All right, Ahmed Hassan Ayeen, Boise State. I got no file on him. I learned about him when this question came up. So this is all you, but I am intrigued by the story. That's for this. This is a guy that I wish we were actually talking about him next week, because then the beast would be out, because Dane would have some incredible story in it. So maybe we'll ask Dane about him on Thursday. Maybe not. But what's your read on him?
Yeah, so I really enjoy watching him. You know, he's a fun watch. He kind of plays like a 4-5 technique, so like kind of right over the nose of the tackle. And he plays hard. You can tell he loves football. You can just tell he absolutely loves the game. He plays hard. He's finishing the ball almost every play. Like, he just is passionate about it. The problem with him is he's 6'1", he's 267. So a little undersized to kind of play interior defensive line at the NFL level, right? Which is kind of what that 4-eye position is. Like when you think about a traditional 4-eye, you're talking like 6'4", 6'5", like 290 to 310. And like he doesn't really fit in that mold. So to me, he's got to kick out, right? So he'd have to kick to like a true 5 technique, 6 technique. Trying to think of a good example. Does like, you know, in our defense, it's kind of like Cleveland Farrell, like that type of guy, right? The problem is like, he's not a plus athlete. He is kind of an athlete that fits more the mold of a traditional 4-eye. Like he's ran a 4.87 at the combine. His jumps were just okay. Like when you watch his field work, his bend is fine. Like he's again, like the football player, the passion, the motivation, the physicality, it's there. And so when you say, oh, like what's his role here if he were to come to Washington, yeah, I think he'd be a rotational guy that is kind of like Karloftis in Kansas City. And Karloftis is a much better athlete, but yeah, a guy that's never going to generate a ton of pressure on his own, but is going to kind of get cleanup sacks. And you need kind of to be, you need to compliment somebody who's an elite pass rusher. You know, Karloftis compliments Chris Jones, right? Like that's kind of what it would need to be here. And he's, to me, he's not a guy that's going to kind of generate on his own because he lacks the athletic upside. But in terms of liking the film, like I really like the film. And if they signed him like in the 5th round, 6th round, 7th round to come here, like I would be excited because it's like, yeah, he loves playing football. He's physical. And he'd have to kind of be a guy that, you know, is bottom half of the roster, maybe practice squad guy that has special teams value. And because of his, it's obvious. Like at the combine, they did a feature on it. Like, you know, like when I'm watching the drills, he's getting ready to do a drill and he's just like, so juiced up. He's screaming at the D-line coach. Like he's just excited. Like, let's go, you know, like, and I love that. I love that person. Yeah. And so I'm going to bet on that person to make an NFL roster. I think the problem with a guy late is there are other guys that are, you could get late that have more athletic upside. And I think that's where you kind of run into a weird thing with Hussein, you know?
Yeah. So I think that it goes back to what we talked about with Jeremy on kind of the peeling back the layers of the onion, and every layer you peel back is like a down round grade. Yeah. And it's like, okay, for him, the idea of taking someone who hasn't been playing football that long often is they're a great athlete. And it's like, God, if we could mold this guy into a football player. And for him, not having that athletic upside feels like it's definitely going to peel away multiple layers almost at once. And so I think that's the hard sell for him. But if he's got the passion and you said the work ethic and all that stuff shows up and he's going to light up interviews and guys are just gonna be like, I want that guy in the room. That's definitely a, you know, maybe a higher floor guy to bet on in theory that, you know, like he, at the very least, he's going to go out there and bust his butt on special teams and play really hard for the 7 snaps a game on defense you need him. And like, yep, there are worse guys to have than a guy who has that kind of passion. And, you know, also what does he do to the rest of the room of, you know, the star player can never slack off because there's that guy fighting for his life, you know, just trying every single snap and paying, asking good questions in meetings and all that kind of stuff.
And I was talking to Fred about this too. And it's like, ultimately what you're trying to find is people that love football. And yeah, to me, when I watch him play, when I see his kind of interviews, like dude loves ball. So like, yeah, I'm going to take a bet on that guy. So like, does he move up my list? Yeah, but is he still in that range of like,
you know, we're still talking a 5th, 6th, 7th rounder for sure.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. In terms of first rounder, next question comes from Timoth78. Hello, Timoth. who are the sprint to the podium prospects for you at 29? We've done we've almost answered this like haphazardly shotgun style. Sure, we've done different, yeah, mock drafts. And it's like, oh, if that guy's on the board. So let's consolidate some of our answers in one place here. Guys that theoretically could be available at 29 because they drop for one reason or another that you're like, oh, hell yeah, let's go. Yeah. No thinking about it. We're not going to waste time. We're past midnight and it's time to make a draft pick. Let's get this done.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we want to start an edge rusher, like obviously Mike Green, I don't think there's, the more I watch him, the less likely I think this is, unless the off-field, yeah, stuff is just dramatic. You know what I mean? Like
the only question. Like, I feel like that is, the more you watch him and the more everyone watch him, that's the narrative on him is like, if he drops, it's going to be because 25 teams have him off the board for off-field stuff, not because of anything that's on tape or in the athletic testing.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I don't think that happens, honestly. The next one would be Donovan Ezuraku, you know, from Boston College. Like he just, man, he can rush the passer. Like, he can just rush the passer at a really high level. He's kind of, to me, he's got like the perfect build for it. He's like 6'2", he's like 250, he's got 34-inch arms, and his bag is so deep. You know, he's a little bit undersized versus the run, which again might throw some teams off, but I think he really comps well. And Jeremy said this, and I've heard other people say this too, to Nick Benito, a guy that's a little undersized, but just has the juice. And like I had a coach tell me one time, is if there's any sign of juice, like with a pass rusher,
yeah,
you got to jump on it. And he's got it, you know, and he just is this. And I think about what the Commanders need and him at 29. I don't know. The more I watch him as a pass rusher, like I think I got thrown off early on because he's just okay against the run. But like as a pass rusher, he just brings this tremendous trump card to the table and tremendous nuance to the position. The other guy at edge would be like Nick Scorton. I'm a big Landon Jackson guy. The more I watch him, and again, I would die if Landon Jackson was a Commander, but he feels more like a high to mid second round pick. Nick Scorton's a guy that I think actually could be there at 29. Like he just plays so hard. He's physically
violent.
Is he
in the sprint to the podium category though?
Because of how he plays, you know what I mean? Like he just plays hard. And when you watch his 2023 tape, he's 11 sacks and they're good sacks. Like he's got a deep bag. And so like, I think you couple the physicality, the mindset, kind of the every down intensity he brings with the pass rush upside. I feel pretty good about that. So those are like the three names that to me come to mind. And as edge rushers, and I everyone's going to ask me about James Pierce Jr. Like, I think James Pierce Jr., if he was a Commander, I'd be really excited because I trust the staff. But when I watch the film, like, I don't think he has top shelf bend. He's got top shelf get off and he's got top shelf like physicality. But you need someone that's going to like make him the best version of himself. And I trust the Commanders to do that. But I would definitely take those three guys right now above him. And that's not, that sounds like I'm being like mean to James Pierce.
It's the reality of it.
I just prefer those other three guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
and the other thing, he's got off-field stuff too, so you'd have to trust the staff on that part of it as well. Is there anybody in the pass catcher category, and I'm specifically phrasing this as pass catcher because I know one of your guys is Colston Loveland, that if somehow he gets past the Chargers in a reunion with Harbaugh at 22 and he falls all the way down, that he's a run to the podium guy for you. But who else in the pass catcher category?
Yeah, I mean, he for sure is. Like, if he was there, like, I it would be hard-pressed. Like, him and Mike Green are there, like, it's like Sophie's choice, you know what I mean? Like, who are you going to pick? Because I think Colston Loveland, I don't know, I think he could be special, like, this year. Kind of like, you know, I went back and watched Brock Bowers just to kind of refresh my memory. Like, and from a route-running standpoint, I think everyone just take a deep breath as I'm talking here. I think he's a better route-runner than Brock Bowers, but Brock Bowers was a more special prospect because of what he did with the ball in his hands. Like, I've never seen a tight end catch the football the way he did and then just break tackles and make people look silly. So, like, just to give you some context there, like, I think he's in that kind of group. Obviously,
really special route runner, catcher of the football, gets open, reliable.
Like, body control, like, he's tough. Like, I was watching a game last night where he pops his shoulder out of his socket and then comes back in and tries to play the rest of the game. I just love that type of stuff. Like, you love ball, I love ball. So, yeah, Colston Loveland. Obviously, like, this is, like, total pipe dream, but, like, Ashton Jeanty, you know, if he's available for, like, it's not going to happen, but that would be an interesting one. I like Tetro McMillan a lot. You know, he's not going to fall to 29, but we're talking just, you know, perfect world, perfect scenario. And same thing with the defensive line. If Shamar Stewart, by some kind of miracle,
Jalen Walker, like we talked about with Jeremy.
Like those guys are, I don't think they're going to be there, but if they are, you run them in because I think they could be difference makers. But, the other one that's interesting to me, and the more I watch him, the more I kind of like, I'm like, oh man, this guy could be a really good pro, is Emeka Nwabuka from Ohio State. Yeah. And I think there's a real chance he's there. And am I running it in? But he kind of falls in that Nick Scorton category where the more I watch him, the more I like him as a route runner, the more I like him as a blocker, the more I like him as a professional NFL wide receiver.
He does everything well.
Correct.
You're waiting for, he's one of the guys that I've spent a little time with. And like, at first I'm just like, this is fine. And then you realize that like, it's every snap is the same quality. no matter what you route running, doesn't matter the route, doesn't matter, like he catches the football reliably, he blocks, he's physical. There's nothing that pops. There's no, like, I'm sure when you went back and watched Terry at Ohio State, there's a couple of plays. I mean, I remember some of the highlights of watching him after they drafted him, being like, let's see what this kid's all about. Right. And you're like, oh, this kid just ran 80 yards away from everybody. Like, that's pretty neat. Igbuka's not going to do that. But like he'll have 8 catches for 78 yards and 6 of them will be for first downs, and he'll have a key block on somebody else and this and that. And so, yeah, I think he's a like weird prospect, but I mean floor. That as a compliment.
Yeah, tremendously high floor. And I think that's awesome. Matthew Golden, I like a lot. I like, and he reminds me a little bit like AB, just from like a change of direction, route running, like he can kind of do everything. And again, I think he probably goes higher. You know, like when you hear about like Steve Smith, for example, did his receiver rankings recently and had him ahead of Tetro McMillan. And
that's happening more and more too. There's other people that also like that.
The thing about Matthew Golden is I don't feel the speed from him.
Yeah.
Like I
feel also that stat Jeremy gave us scares the bejesus out of me.
Yeah. So again, like he's interesting, but I'm becoming more of a Mecca Ibuka guy the more I watch him. So to answer your question, and then the other one I would just throw in this bucket of like offense
sprint to the podium. Yeah.
Yeah. Is Omarion Hampton. Like he's not Ashton Jeanty, and I'm not a big take your running back in the first round, but the more I watch, he's not there yet. He's not the Colson Loveland, Emeka Nwabuka. He's not in that category for me yet. But the more I watch him, the more I'm like, he could be a difference maker in an offense. So those are some names offensively that I think are interesting. Obviously, I still am really high on Josh Simmons. Like,
yeah,
you know, like I heard that the injury is okay. I heard his interviews were just okay. Like, but the tape, if we're just talking about the tape for me, like it's really good tape, and he could be like a franchise left tackle. So I know we have one, but if you were to play right and then Coleman play, like
if you want to Tristan Wirfs it and have Tunsil play left tackle for 3 years, and then Josh Simmons becomes an all pro at right tackle and then flips over to the left and does that, like that's, I mean, Wirfs, chances you're going to redo that, very slim, because Wirfs is the first guy to ever be an all pro on both sides of the line at tackle. But like the idea of going right tackle to left tackle and being good at both is not unheard of. Any of the DBs sprint to the podium, or is it kind of like, hey, if everybody else goes and we're going to get the Will Johnson, non Travis Hunter, next best DB on the board, like we'll take him. But is there anybody corner or safety that you sprint?
It's actually the two safeties for me, Malachi
Emanuori
and
Nick
Emanuori. Yeah. Like, and I don't think either one of them is going to be there. Like, but Malachi Starks is, Jahide Barron's probably like in contention for this title.
I should mention him as the
best football player, you know, football player. Like when I watch Malachi Starks, like he tackles well, he takes good angles, he can play man coverage. Like I heard a defensive coordinator say he's the safest pick in the draft. And the more I watch him, the more I'm just like, his floor is just sky high. Like he's going to be a good pro. And then if you're trying to swing for the fences, like Nick Amonwori, like I don't love his tackling all the time, but like, I'll be damned if he just shows you something just magical every once in a while. And you're just like, you know, so like those two guys for me, and then obviously Jahide Barron, but I think he's a top 15 pick, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like those are the three.
And Amonwori and Starks might be, but they also might be available for Washington at the end of the first round. So that's kind of the crux of the question. The physical tools are outrageous. One of the craziest raw athletes we've ever seen. But also I've heard Dane talk about his teammates just raving about his mental side and the plays he makes and his understanding of coverage and all that kind of stuff. So that's something that I think is worth tagging for a guy that's kind of put out there as a physical freak. Like his mental game's pretty strong too.
Yeah, and I don't know if that answers the question, but I know we talked about a lot of guys, but it feels like we kind of touched on them. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think
there's some guys we're excited about.
Question answered. One of those guys, please be available 29.
Want more from Craig and Logan? Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. More Hoffman Show next on the Team 980 and the free Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple.
For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Coming up at 6 o'clock, Dave Johnson from Indianapolis, where tonight the Wizards will take on the Pacers at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. An arena, Anthony, that I've been to a stunningly large amount of times.
I think I've been there.
Gainbridge. I think I've been there four times. Two Pacers games, and then two Aces. Two Aces Fever games last year.
You went to both last year.
Yeah, because they played twice in 3 days. That's the whole reason we went.
Yeah. In September, right?
Yeah.
I remember this.
Yeah, I did the show from the hotel that I stay at during the combine every year.
Yep.
So that was a good time. But that's where Dave is. We'll talk to him at 6 o'clock. Right now, though, the news of the day of the NBA. Anthony, how did you find out Mike Malone got fired?
I got a big fancy notification Somehow, some way, I sent it to you twice, and I didn't realize that.
Well, I thought it was funny because you sent me the tweet from Shams, and then I responded with, what? And then you sent it again, which I thought was a funny joke, but apparently was an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident.
Oh, I just thought you sent it again to be a smartass, because that was, I was like, that's a funny bit. That's a real, I'm like, I already saw this text. And then I like went back in our text later to look at it, and I was like, oh, he sent it. I said, what? And he sent it again, and that's... That was a funny bit, but apparently you actually weren't that funny. You got funny by accident.
I wasn't that funny, but yeah.
Which is actually really quite on brand for how this relationship tends to go. Yeah, I I found out from you telling me, and then one of my other group texts went nuts with all the stuff with the GM and everything. And it's just, the NBA is such an interesting league when it comes to coaches, because there's no doubt that Mike Malone is a great coach, phenomenal basketball coach, in the same way that there's no doubt that Frank Vogel, who was fired, 2 years after he won a title with the Lakers, is a great coach. It's why he got hired again somewhere else in Phoenix, and pretty immediately. Mike Budenholzer has been fired multiple times and then gone and won 60 games at his new stop. Like, these guys keep getting recycled, and they keep winning in their new places. And Malone was a guy who gave the Sacramento Kings the best seasons they had in like 20 years. And then for whatever reason, he got fired there, and the Nuggets were like, sweet, we'll pick him up. I actually think they swapped coaches. I'm trying to remember who the Nuggets coach was that got fired and wound up in Sacramento. I might be making that up. But the point is, Malone was good in Sacramento. Everyone was stunned that he got fired. Then he goes to Denver, and he is really successful. They ultimately win the championship in 2023, and then he gets fired. And I think if I try to, my first thought is like, did something happen? Was there an incident of some kind? And it does not appear that in the couple of hours since this news broke that there has been anything untoward that has come out where it's like, oh, well, that's why they fired him with a week to go in the season. And obviously this comes, 2 weeks after, not even, Taylor Jenkins gets fired in Memphis. And I think there's two different things that I would say are relevant factors in these type of firings. One, it's an 82-game season. These seasons are really long. And I do think there is probably some merit to the fact, and this seemed to be the case, especially in Memphis, that eventually you just need a new voice. That if you are hearing the same as an athlete, especially, and especially in teams like Denver and Memphis that have a pretty high level of continuity on their roster, that if you just heard the same thing over and over again, it's real hard to keep as motivated and to have fresh ideas. And if you get in any kind of a rut, it's hard to get yourself out because your creativity dies a little bit as a coach and as a player. And those relationships at times need a fresh voice. To do it a week before the playoffs starts feels absolutely crazy. Or 2 weeks in Memphis's case, but they had like an heir apparent. They did a bunch of staff changeover last year. That's in some ways a different situation. Malone, this feels like it comes out of absolute nowhere. But then the other part of this that I think is interesting, especially with Denver, like Jokic seems like the most easy to get along with guy in the whole league. He's like, yeah, whatever. I show up, I play basketball, I'm brilliant, and then I go home to my horses. But in a lot of these places, the players have the most power. And they would much rather change out a coach than players. And that's what I think makes Miami and San Antonio specifically so incredibly unique, is because Pat Riley is the god in Miami, and he says the most important person in this organization is not any individual player, it's Eric Spoelstra, and everybody, including when he was there, LeBron James, is going to have to get on board. It changes the power dynamic to a more traditional coach has the power over the players model, versus in other places where if a player is upset or an owner senses that he could be losing goodwill with the players, especially if it's someone like a Jokic or a Jamal Murray, then that coach tends to go. And there's a famous story from LeBron's time with the Heat where basically LeBron was unhappy with Spo, walked into Riley's office thinking he was going to get something. Or I know he walks into Spo's office and Spo writes Riley's number on the board and goes, call him. And that was the end of that. Because Riley was like, Spo's the coach, he's in charge, get in line, or we're going to have problems. And that was LeBron James in like 2010. I just don't feel like with Jokic that he would ever do something like that, that he would ever tune a coach out. That's just not how it seems to be how he's wired from everything we know about him. Maybe there's some stuff under the surface, but it's just that to me is why this is so surprising, is you have a proven track record of success. They've been great in the playoffs multiple years. And on the verge of the playoffs, yes, the Nuggets have had a little bit of slide of late, and they have a huge week here where they could finish third in the West or they could finish eighth in the West. But it's at some point, like, what's a new coach doing now? Just wait and see if you can, you know, have this guy that's led you to a championship pull you out of this rut. And if it doesn't go the way you want, then you move on after the season.
Yeah, that's the big thing for me, the timing of the situation. They have 5 games left in the regular season. Like, and again, to your point, like, they, Mike Malone has championship pedigree. So, like, he knows, like, what it takes to, you know, get there while in the playoffs. So, I think losing that experience, that continuity, you know, with the coach and the players, it's tough. And to be honest, them moving off Mike Malone's, granted they haven't had the success they've wanted, you know, since the All-Star break. I think they're 11-13 since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
But at the same token, like, Jamal Murray's been in and out of the lineup because
missed 5 straight games with a hamstring injury.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, granted the GM, you know, he did let some of the veteran players, the guys that were important to for their championship run, he did let some of those guys go, the Bruce Browns of the world. And, you know, when you draft guys like Christian Brown and Strother, you want those guys to step up and develop. And I think they just haven't had the success that, or, you know, they haven't seen that growth out of the young group of players that they've had. But I don't think that's more so on the coach. I mean, the GM has a huge role in that.
100%. Like, the biggest decisions that have been made about this franchise have been made by Calvin Booth, who they're not going to extend either. And they've happened in this 3-year stretch since Tim Connelly left the organization for Minnesota. And that's the thing is, like, if the executive's the problem, why are you firing the coach? Like, yes, there's been frustration, and yes, there's been emotions boiling over, but, like, that's the NBA. It's not always going to be simple. And I guess, you know, at the end of the day, can you find other good coaches? Maybe the dude Adelman, who's taken over, who I think is Rick Adelman's son, who's their lead assistant, has been a longtime assistant in the NBA. Obviously, he's grown up around it. Like, maybe he's the right guy, and this fresh voice with slight tweaks, maybe some of the frustration has been Malone has been stubborn, and, you know, the assistants have had ideas that they think can fix stuff, and, you know, the players believe in, and eventually someone went to the owner and was like, hey, we think that there's better ideas down farther down the bench. Like, I'm not going to pretend like I know the ins and outs of this situation. And this is risky. The easy thing to do in a lot of ways is to just wait till the end of the season. But then what kind of opportunity have you cost yourself? And if you know you're going to fire the guy, might as well give this guy a run, I guess, the lead assistant. Although if he does well, like, are you 100% sure that's who you want to hire? Or do you want to go through a full process? So, like, there's positives and negatives to all of it. But at the end of the day, I do think sometimes owners get a little bit antsy not realizing that they have a good thing. Like, to me, if there's been this growing, to quote the Shams reporting on this, a cold war between the GM and the head coach, to then fire both of them, unless you're saying the principle of the matter is we don't do cold wars here, and the fact that you guys proved to be unprofessional enough that you can't work together, then we're firing both of you? That seems stupid to me. Just pick the person who's the problem, get rid of that guy, and move forward knowing that the other guy's hopefully good at their job. And in Mike Malone's case, we have a championship's worth of proof, not to mention a whole bunch of other winning seasons. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We'll talk to Dave Johnson about the Wizards week ahead coming up at 6 o'clock starting tonight in Indiana against the Pacers. Back-to-back, they play Philadelphia tomorrow. Coming up next, though, it's a Tuesday, so we get to ask what else happened this weekend in the world of sports beyond the top stories that we spent the last 2 days on. We'll get into all of that next after we tell you what's trending. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Dave Johnson, the legend, joins us. I feel like Dave can just go one name. He's just, ladies and gentlemen, Dave. In 10 minutes. Right now, though, Anthony, it's time for our weekend review, a.k.a. what else happened this weekend. No official title because it's still brought to you by...
Nobody, Craig.
Yep. Could be you next week out there in potential advertiser land with everyone's disposable income and solid base for predicting future business right now. Smile, thumbs up. What else happened this weekend, Anthony? The U.S. Women's National Team played this weekend. They had a 2-0 win over Brazil on Saturday afternoon. They play again tonight. And I'm predicting a goal for Washington Spirit forward Ashley Hatch. She didn't play in the first game, so I'm assuming she's going to play tonight. And it's her husband Jeff's birthday.
Okay.
So happy birthday, Jeff. Ash and Jeff are friends. So I'm giving Jeff a birthday shout out and saying that I'm predicting on the radio that Ashley will score a birthday goal for Jeff tonight for the U.S. in their game 2 against Brazil.
Before their game, when was the last time you interviewed one of these players?
I interviewed Ashley, 2 weeks ago before, when they announced that she made this U.S. roster. And then she scored in the Spirit game.
I thought she scored.
Yeah, she scored in the Spirit game. Now I'm saying she scored in the U.S. game.
Okay.
Not because it would keep up the streak, but yeah, because it's Jeff's birthday.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was a bet.
But also, I mean, we'll take the credit if it happens. we're not gonna not take credit, obviously. This was not over the weekend, Anthony, and we talked about this a little bit. But Olivia Miles not going into the WNBA draft. That was last week. We talked about it. But she announced she's going to TCU, which, by the way, Ben Pickman predicted on our show that might be that she might take the Haley Van Lith pass. That, you know, clearly TCU proved that we can intake transfers and get them acclimated quickly. We can help you have a great season. You know, Miles is coming off a terrific season, although she still, I think, doesn't feel up to where she wants to be coming off the injury 2 years ago. And Van Lith obviously had the really, really, really tough season at LSU and then goes to TCU, Big 12 Player of the Year, and then she is going to be probably a first-round pick. Maybe she goes early second, but likely somewhere in the, let's say, 8 to 12 range in the draft on Monday. So Olivia Miles going to follow the same path. She is headed to TCU, where she will probably be the Big 12 Player of the Year and lead TCU deep into the tournament next year.
Yeah, and I remember Pickman discussing the style of play TCU has in terms of, you know, it being a more pro style, a lot of pick and roll, and allowing, you know, Olivia Miles to you know, impact the game.
Yeah, have the ball in her hands, be a playmaker, doesn't have to share the ball like she did at Notre Dame with Hidalgo and Citron and all the other ones. Nationals had a good weekend, Anthony. They won 2 of 3 in their series against the Diamondbacks. Then they went ahead and beat the Dodgers last night. How about that? Dodgers, they're a behemoth, but the Nats got them last night.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. So Toby and Ryan asked me if I knew how many games the Nats had won in a row. And when they told me, I thought it was an April Fool's joke. but yeah, we've won 3 in a row.
Yes. Dylan Cruz officially off the schneid. He's a paltry 3 for 32 on the season. That is good for an .094 batting average, Anthony. It's not good. Our guys got...
And one of his hits yesterday apparently was charged as an error. So he didn't get a hit yesterday.
He's got to get on base. He's got three hits. They're all singles. We've got the old three in the hits, 3 in the total bases. He does have a walk, but he scored 3 runs. So when he's getting on base, he's making his way around. Love
gotta
that.
Get him on then.
Got 2 steals. Probably have more steals if he could get on base more. But a young man's adjusting to the majors. He'll be just fine in the long run. But Dylan Cruz, we went into the weekend. I think he was still hitless. Comes out of it with a couple of hits, and hopefully he can continue to go. By the way, Anthony, Nathaniel Lowe, your guy, one of the brothers, or the one of the Lowe brothers that is at Washington National.
He is a Washington National.
Yeah, he's
Nathaniel.
He's leading the team in hits. He's got 11 of them so far this season. Kiber Ruiz having a nice start to the year as well. He's got 10 hits and is hitting .323 to get things going. Also, Lowe, 3 homers on the year, as does C.J. Abrams. So they're at Nats Park about 50 minutes from now, first pitch tonight against the Dodgers. What else happened this weekend? There was a terrible F1 race. It was one of the most boring races that we've had on the F1 calendar in a long time. It's Suzuka. Just nobody passed anybody the entire race. It was just no real pit strategy. Risks were taken. Max Verstappen won. He and Lando Norris now just a point apart in the driver standings. Anything else happened this weekend, Anthony, that we haven't talked about yet?
We talked about
Ovi yesterday. So we typically dip some caps in here, but we're not talking about caps because we have featured the caps. This is what else happened this weekend.
Grand Slam track.
Oh, yes. Yes. How about Gabby Thomas gutting out a 400?
Mm-hmm.
48 something, I think. Or no, maybe she's 49. But just she had to come in second to win. So basically, the Grand Slam track is a multi-spot event, and each one is a Grand Slam. All the competitors are in a category. So like Gabby Thomas was in what they called long sprints. So all the same group of women or men, depending on which side you're on, obviously, 200, 400. And then there's a point system for where you finish. And so Gabby wins the 200, and then she's got to beat the 400-meter Olympic champion, Paulino, in the 400 to guarantee that she wins. And she went out and did it. She beat the 400-meter Olympic champion in the 400 in what was a fast race. The woman who actually won, I'm forgetting her name, I apologize, but she is a Bahrainian. She's been on fire this season, ran the fastest time ever run in April in a 400. But Gabby gutting out that last 100 meters wins the Grand Slam and thus $100,000. Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni won. She ran the long hurdles, 400 meters, 400 in the sprint. Kenny Bignarek won the men's short sprints, the 100 and the 200. And I think, did they have a short sprint? Oh, did Grant Holloway run? I saw that, I think, as well. Did he run?
I didn't see Grant run.
I don't think Grant ran. I think he won something else recently. That I saw a video clip of. But yeah, so those are some of the big names that won. 1500, like the long, the distance, that was a heck of a race on the men's side as well. Grant Fisher, I believe, coming away from that, at least winning the 1500, and I think he won the 3 as well. So, but it's a really cool event. I think there is LA, Philly, and I'm missing one more that are still to come this summer, but good stuff in the track world in a non-Olympic year. Especially coming off of an Olympic year. So excited for that. All right. Anything else? Do we cover what else happened this weekend?
I think so.
All right. We did it, everybody, despite the help of zero sponsors, because this segment is brought to you by
nobody, Craig.
We did it. We officially caught you up on literally everything that happened everywhere in the world of sports. Oh, there was one more thing, Anthony. The English Premier League, Southampton has secured relegation. As in, they're going down a league next year with 7 games to go. And I do believe that is the longest stretch in a season remaining when a team has secured that they stink. So, Southampton, sorry you're rubbish this year. Better luck next year. Now we've caught you up on everything else that happened this weekend, and Dave Johnson's going to join us next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.